Yeah. Browns play Washington. The Browns play Washington. Welcome in. Browns play Washington coming up on Sunday. We're going to get to Nathan Zagura here in a moment. First, start your game day with the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show with Jonathan Peterlin and, ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Lima appearing at MGM Northfield Park. You excited?
You know what? It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm probably going to predict a Browns win.
Oh, you are you?
Yep. Okay. Like old times.
Live from the Neon Room at MGM Northfield Park this Sunday, starting at 10 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m. Yes, we'll have your chance to win a football prize pack and a Tap Sports Grill gift card. Make the Fan. Yes, the Fan. Bud Light Tailgate Show, part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns, 92.3 The Fan. It's presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, Sal's Heating and Cooling and Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. Question to Owen, not to Lima. He's not eligible to answer it. Who are people more excited to see at MGM Northfield Park, Lima or Wayne Newton?
Oh, that's an obvious one. The local boy made good, Anthony Lima.
I was still going to say it's still got to be Wayne Newton.
And I'm going to get back in here and say I just saw Wayne Newton and had to explain to my wife all about Wayne Newton when he was on the Golden Bachelorette the other day.
Who currently sings Donka Shane better? Anthony Lima?
Oh, come on.
Or Wayne Newton?
Find out on Sunday.
Or Nathan Zagura.
And then find out Saturday, October 12th. Or maybe find out now. Nathan Zagura, you're on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Nathan, good morning.
Good morning, Monfrere. Good morning, Lima. Good to be with you guys.
I thought you were going to sing. You didn't even sing. Don't make him sing. All right, Nathan.
I'm not singing, no. Sunday, man's got to know his limitations, Ken.
Is Sunday a must-win? Unfair question.
I don't know if it's a must-win, but it's a very important game for this team to win. Getting to 1-4 would be, I think, a very deep hole, considering that you're then going on the road to Philadelphia, then home for Cincinnati and Baltimore. It feels like a very important game, and honestly, the Browns would tell you they shouldn't be in this situation, but self-inflicted wounds have been catastrophic the last 2 weeks, and the Browns find themselves at 1-3. So I think it is a critically important game. I think they've got to go, when you kind of look at the schedule overall, to be either 5-4 or 4-5 going into the bye week. And so there are multiple ways to do that, but it does feel like you've got to split one of these two out of three at home to have really any chance to be in a position to make a second half run.
All right, Nathan, I need some ammo to respond to a troll that emails us from time to time. I'm just going to go ahead and read the email to you. Quote, you guys really said Deshaun Watson played well versus the Raiders. He averaged 5.4 yards per attempt. Do you guys realize that is horrible? And he capitalized every letter in the word horrible.
So we knew what he meant. So we
knew it. Nathan, we both thought he played well. And we don't have to belabor the flag, and we don't have to belabor the drop by Amari, but, I mean, we thought he played well.
He did play well. He played very well. I thought he saw it. I thought he was through with some anticipation. You know, if you take a 30-yard completion to Amari Cooper that then registers as an interception, and you add that back, obviously the holding penalty. You're talking about a game where a guy threw for 290, 300 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, had a rating in the 120s, and the Browns win, and everybody's going nuts. I thought he played very well. Dan Orlovsky, who has been very critical of him really all year, said that he thought he played a great game in that one. The analytics all say that he played a great game. Look, this is a win and loss business, and so, you know, the notion of moral victories that, at least it looked good, we should have beaten the Raiders. And I thought Deshaun played very well. I don't think he was in any way, shape, or form the reason we did not beat the Raiders. But unfortunately, when you're the quarterback, you get more of the praise when it's good and more of the blame when it's not. And that's just kind of the nature of the beast of that position. But he did play significantly better in that game. And I think he's been kind of trending that way really over the course of the season. And so I think Deshaun Watson's putting together performances that certainly are capable of winning in the National Football League. But he needs some help. I mean, we lead the league in drops, lead the league in sacks allowed, lead the league in pressures allowed. That's a hard way to play. There was a ranking, I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was a ranking that was to kind of, at Pro Football Focus, to isolate everything that's happening around a quarterback. So they took a team's pass blocking grades, run blocking grades, rushing grades, receiving grades. It was everything but the passing grade for a team, added them up. The Browns are 32nd out of 32 teams in the National Football League, dead last. So the support certainly has not been there, but everybody's got to step up their game. And to your guys' point earlier, if it's a must-win, there isn't a lot of time to get this figured out and get this ship righted.
Nathan Zagura quoting PFF, which of course has Harold Fannin Jr., the number one tight end in the country and the number one college football ranked player in the country. I'll have that game coming up Saturday. Nathan Zagura will have the game on Sunday. So,
did you ever see Tommy Boy? Nathan, you remember the part where she says that's when the horse come in and and the World War II vet starts talking about it? That's how I feel when he brings up Harold Fannin Jr.
Gotta watch him.
He's made my life a living hell ever since.
Bowling Green tight end, Nathan. During your prep work on Saturday, I suggest you watch. Anyway, Nathan, you said trending in the right direction. So if he continues to play like that, obviously the last play of the game notwithstanding, which was inexplicable that he didn't decide to throw the football, but there were myriad issues that plagued that doomed that specific play. If he continues playing like this, then do you think that'll be enough to erase a lot of the conversation about all these issues that have popped up with this football team?
Yes, but at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to erase the conversations is him playing well and the Browns winning, right? That's literally it. That's what this is all about. He was brought here to help this team win, and right now around him things are happening that are not elevating him at all, and unfortunately, you know, we haven't been able to overcome it. That last play, I think he had an opportunity, obviously, to rip it to Akins, but he was looking at Amari. And then by the time he would have come back to Jerry Jeudy, you know, Christian Wilkins had already was basically in his lap and had to get him out of the pocket. So it's just been so many little things, death by a thousand cuts for this football team. But if you're talking about narratives, this is a binary business. If you were to isolate, for example, last year with Joe Flacco, right? Joe Flacco only played so many games with the Browns and led the NFL in pick sixes thrown for the season. But because you're winning, that doesn't matter. It's all the good, the 300-yard games, the multiple touchdowns. And he did it. Joe Flacco was phenomenal, and it was so fun. But it's about that changes everything. Winning and losing changes everything in the NFL. If you want positive press, you've got to win in the NFL. You want negative press, you're going to get it when you don't win in the NFL. And right now, the Browns are 1-3 for the first time under Kevin Stefanski. And so there's a lot of negative press about this football team.
And things are pretty negative. Nathan Zagura joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So do you have ideas how you get that offense going a little bit?
I think, honestly, it's a lot of – I'll go back to the same thing I've been saying, self-inflicted wounds. How does the offense play better? Well, they've got to block better. The essence of football is what? When you're out there coaching your boys, Ken, what do you start with? Blocking and tackling. The Browns are very bad at blocking, and the last 2 weeks – they've missed 23 tackles. They're very bad at tackling. So that's the fundamental essence of playing football in the National Football League. For this offense, what does that mean? Got to block better. You got to give your quarterback time. I thought when they did against the Raiders, he was significantly better. You've got to catch the football when it's thrown to you. The Browns lead the league in drop passes. You got to catch the football when it's thrown to you, and you cannot have a drop pass certainly turn into a turnover like it did in that game. And then pre-snap penalties or even post-snap penalties. It was a penalty that wiped out an 82-yard touchdown. It was a pre-snap penalty by Amari Cooper in that game that wiped out a first down that turned a drive that was going to be into Vegas territory, put you behind the sticks, and all of a sudden you end up punting the ball back. So it's all those little things are adding up to be very difficult for this football team to overcome. And that, I think, is the big problem. Now, Jerome Ford had one nice run. The other part of it is that we can't get any push at all in the ground game. We're not even averaging a yard per carry before our running backs take contact. You cannot run the football successfully like that in the NFL. And then defensively, you know, you play a Raiders team that had about 150 yards rushing through three games, and you give up over 150 to them in one game. And why? It goes back to tackling, missed tackles. The Browns had a dozen of them in this game. And so at some point, you got to get back to the fundamentals, do the little things, blocking and tackling, and hopefully that'll allow you to build not only better production on offense, because Browns are the only team in the league without a 300-yard game. They're the only team in the league without a 20-point game. They have got to be more efficient, more effective, and then obviously finish drives. We start great every game. You're up 7-0 on the Giants. You're up 10-0 on the Raiders. Those games have to be wins.
Nathan Zagura joining us here. Well, you see, Nathan, that was going to be my next question, was are we taking out our frustrations on the offense on the defense? But then when you give up 152 yards, it's like, well, that's going to be frustrating in its own right. How good is the defense, or how frustrating has the defense been throughout the season?
I think the defense has been at times really, really good, especially kind of in the second half of games. They've been lights out, but the missed tackles are a big problem. Inopportune penalties, again, similar to the offense, big problem. Go back to the Browns have had either a touchdown last week or a turnover erased by penalty in three straight games. You think about the fumble down in Jacksonville on the kickoff return. You think about the interception against the Giants from the roughing the passer. And I think for the defense, you know, that's been a problem. Twice now in 2 weeks, you have basically eliminated a turnover that has directly led to points for the opponent and ultimately changed the outcome of the game in a one-score game. Because against the Giants, it was the roughing the passer by Greg Newsome. That erases Ronnie Hickman's interception. Heck, that game could have been 14-0, and at that point, the Giants may have folded up. But instead, the drive extends. They go on a 13-plus play, 80-plus yard drive. They get a touchdown. You go last week. You get off the field against the Raiders, roughing the passer on Alex Wright. That extends the drive. Guess what? They scored on that drive as well. So it's a lot of little things that have led to big things. Missed tackles extending drives, and then penalties extending drives. And so they've allowed some of these long drives kind of interspersed in with the normal defense we expect, which is getting to the quarterback, Myles Garrett being sensational, and then, of course, the defense on the back end being good. But it has not totally clicked, I don't think, like it did a year ago yet. And I hope that, obviously, the time is now. And I can tell you there is such a focus and a sense of urgency. I got to talk to Grant Delpit last night, who is off to a very solid start this season and certainly has been one of the guys that has been very sound in his tackling. And they feel it. There is a sense of urgency, and they realize that it's not going to be easy. The Commanders have 23 scoring drives. They have 19 incompletions. That hasn't happened since 1973, where a team through four games had more scoring drives than incompletions. They've only punted four times. So you want to test and you want a big spotlight. This is a team averaging 33 points a game over their last three. You're going to get it for the Browns defense against the Commanders this Sunday.
All right, what have you seen, Nathan, when it comes to Jaden Daniels and the Cliff Kingsbury offense that they are running right now? What is it about them that they've been able to secure so many scoring drives?
Number one, they're executing on a level that's never been seen before. And when I mean never been seen before, Jaden Daniels is completing, you know, over 82% of his passes. It's the best four-game stretch in the history of the NFL. Nobody else has done that. He's had two games where they haven't even punted. You add up the careers of, I'm pretty sure it's Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and there's one other one. Oh, and Mahomes. And they have combined to have two such games in their careers, including the playoffs, like 1,400 games. What's happening is they're doing two things very well. Number one, they're running the ball well. And Brian Robinson, a couple games over 100 yards, and they mix in Eckler or McNichols. They're both averaging over 6 yards a carry. They are doing a good job of protecting their line as number two in the NFL in pass blocking efficiency. They've been great. And so what you're seeing is a team that can run it, and they have the threat of the quarterback run. He is second behind only Lamar Jackson in quarterback rushing yards. He is first in with four rushing touchdowns. And they're great on third down. They're great on fourth down. They're the number one third down offense. That's how you sustain drives. And then sometimes when they go for it on fourth down, they have been very, very clutch. They get it to McLaurin down the field. Zach Ertz underneath has 15 catches. The backs catch the ball very well. Austin Eckler's averaging 13.4 yards a catch. That leads all running backs in the NFL. So they've just done a good job of spreading it around. He's incredibly accurate. And when you watch him, they'll use multiple tight ends. They'll do some max protects. He kind of gets to the top of his drop. If the ball's not out quick on the ones where he holds it, he gets to the top of his drop, almost stands flat-footed, and waits for somebody to come open, and then he rips it into them. And if they don't, by the time one person kind of gets through their line, which has been so good, he runs away from them and picks up yards with his feet. So it's tough. It's tough because it's difficult to play man coverage against them, because if you do, you have to dedicate a spy to Jaden Daniels because he is that effective of a runner. And so that takes one of your kind of zone defenders from the middle of the field out of the equation and makes it more difficult for everybody, because you don't have just an absolute funnel them to the inside technique from your corners. They're good. It is a very good offense. It is a very dynamic offense, and they are able to hit big plays over the top to McLaurin, which they've done, and really just kind of beat you into submission as well with Brian Robinson, who already has two 100-yard rushing games this year.
Nathan Zagura joining us. Two more questions. One, we're going to rock, paper, scissors to have to ask you. First question, though, make it short if you can. Cliff Kingsbury, will he be a head coach again in the NFL?
I'm going to say no, and not because I don't think somebody will want to make him a head coach again. I don't know that he wants to be a head coach. I think he might just want to call plays and be an offensive coordinator. He loves Jaden Daniels. I think he'll be there for a while.
All right, you ready, Tom?
All right, here we got to do it. We got to do it.
Here we go. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. You ready?
Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Paper every time, baby.
You already know what I'm going to ask you, don't you?
Pretty sure. Go ahead.
What am I going to ask you?
No, go ahead. I'll tell you afterwards if that's what I thought you were going to ask me.
What did you think of Baker Mayfield yesterday?
Okay, yep, I did. I had that one. I'm happy for Baker Mayfield. I think that it's what's wild to me about this whole situation is you have people who are like, yeah, we're the Baker bros, as you call them. Yeah, we're totally right.
Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't call him that, Nathan. Hold on.
Reckless speculation.
We struck that word from the show. That word was stricken from the show, that phrase.
I'm just saying people who are watching Baker Mayfield play right now in 2024, playing great, and I couldn't be happier for the guy, are conflating that, I think, with the Baker Mayfield that was playing here in 2021. And yes, he was hurt, but he wasn't the same quarterback. And this is a guy who went to Carolina, didn't work out there, and then I really think resurrected his career with Sean McVay in L.A. on a Thursday night against the Raiders. I think that was such a turning point for him in that time with McVay. And now he is kind of, I think, and he said it, so I'm not saying these are my words, these are his words. He kind of needed to mature, and he needed to be humbled a little bit, and he was. And now he's playing great football, and I couldn't be happier for him. They're fun to watch. That was a great, great football game last night. He was great. I thought Kirk Cousins was great. I still cannot believe that the Atlanta Falcons used the 8th overall pick when they could have picked the best defensive player in that draft, that they decided to draft a quarterback who's not going to play because you gave Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed. And by the way, he's still really good.
Yeah, I'm really happy for him, too. Great. Awesome. Really just for him.
Why does it matter? It's not like he went from the Browns to the Bucks. He went to Carolina. He went to L.A. He plays in the NFC. I don't understand. Like,
it doesn't matter except from 6 to 10 when people call me up and harass me over it. Then it matters.
Tell him, move on.
No.
Sometimes people need to move on from certain situations. They need to let things go and move on.
Well, I'm going to say something after you get off the phone because I don't want to have to say it in front of you about moving on. But, Nathan.
Great.
Yeah, he knows.
I'm going to listen now just because I'm curious what you're going to say.
Let me put it on hold. Nathan, thank you very much for the time,
buddy. All right, you got it, guys.
Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. For those people, it's hard to move on when your team's 1-3 now. It's that simple. And there's still how much left on that contract? And they still want me because I said he played well on Sunday? Our guy, not their guy, our guy. Okay. It's pretty hard to move on. Anyway, go Guardians.